Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. Paul, I have a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh. What did I do this time?
Well, I can't believe I walked in and I heard you say that insurance is not sexy.
We were talking to your guests beforehand. I was trying to say, you know, I'm of a certain age. When you get together with my friends, it ain't sexy to talk insurance, but you're going to prove me wrong today.
I think so. I'm really happy to have a guest in today, my guest, my friend, Michael Myra. He's the managing director at Private Risk Insurance Agency. Mike, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Bart. I appreciate it.
Of course. So a little bit of background on Mike. Michael provides customized, best-in-class insurance solutions exclusively for affluent and high-net-worth individuals and families. He achieves this by working very closely with his clients, and in many cases, they're trusted advisors, such as CPAs, attorneys, wealth advisors, and so forth. Michael provides a single point of contact for his clients' entire insurance portfolio, regardless of the geographic location of assets. He has relationship with top insurance companies in the industry, such as Chubb, AIG, Ace Private Risk, Fireman's Fund, and Safeco. This enables Michael to ensure his clients have the most comprehensive, worldwide protection available throughout the entire industry. Michael, again, thanks for coming.
I'm very glad to be here.
All right, let's get sexy.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Turn off the cameras.
So I think let's start. Let's start with kind of describing the types of insurance. Yeah, there's so many different things that you cover.
Yep.
Let's start there, and I'm going to go into kind of what got you into it and so forth, and how you and I even met and some of our yep. mutual clients.
No, definitely. Yeah, property and casualty is a pretty broad term, and my specific vein of insurance is going to be dealing with the personal lines. That's going to be the homeowners, the earthquake, the flood, you know, vacation homes, rental properties people may have, their automobiles, private collections, if they have jewelry, wine, fine art, any antiques, their boats, excess liability, which is another way of calling an umbrella policy. They're slightly different, but they're the same. It's an interesting line of business. It's something everybody needs, but
yeah.
it's very undervalued, I find.
Yeah.
So,
tell a little bit about how you kind of got to where you are today.
Well, it's funny because I was approached with the insurance idea real early on in my career out of college, and I completely shot the idea down. It was not something I was interested in.
See, it wasn't sexy.
Sexy. Yeah, you know, coming out of college, I thought I was going to go straight to something else, but. You know, I did dabble in some other areas. You know, I was working with Ford Motor Credit for a while. I got into the staffing world. And then a friend of our family, longtime family friend, went to high school with my parents, was a VP within Auto Club. He had approached me with the idea of getting into the insurance world, and I thought, you know what, I'm not happy with what I'm doing right now. I might as well give it a try. That was probably just God stepping in, because I found pretty early on I was pretty good at it. And what's kind of interesting about it, when I reflect back, my personality by nature is I'm very protective, very overly protective. So it's kind of funny that my line of work is protecting people.
Yeah.
Not necessarily as a police officer or anything along those lines, but
yeah.
protecting what they've built. And I think that it's a very valuable line of coverage. And as I mentioned early on, it's undervalued. I think people tend to overlook it. They know it's something that they have to have, but it's not necessarily something they put a lot of brain power in. And sometimes they find that out on the wrong side of a claim. So that's really what my career has really evolved. My understanding of insurance is something I think we're always learning in whatever our line of business is. And this is one that you learn every day, and there's never the same experience twice.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that and give some case studies.
Sure.
But, you know, I think it's interesting how we even started working together, and that's been, what did we figure out?
16 years.
16 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So part of our process, as you know, as you work with trusted advisors as a wealth advisor and family office, we do full comprehensive financial plans.
Right.
And part of that, in addition to estate planning and life insurance analysis and investment and tax planning, is property and casualty.
Right.
We've never had anyone in-house that can do that, so that's how you and I started working together. And what I've always appreciated is your ability to once, you know, giving you what, I'll let you explain what it is, but what the deck pages or declaration pages is that
sure.
you're able to review and understand more about the financial situation of the client to come back with great recommendations. And you know what? It almost seems like more often than not, there's nothing for you to gain, but you've done a great analysis. And sometimes you say, hey, go back to your current broker and say, hey, I need to either increase this or check my deductible or so forth. But there certainly is times. And the one time that I'm thinking of where there are times where there it's a benefit for the client to use your services. And I'll forget, this client is still a client of mine. He fits your profile exactly with the yachts, the plane, the big house, the jet, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you did the analysis, and what I recall is it made sense for him. And I believe he moved a pretty substantial portion, not all of his insurance coverage. Well, I'll start it, and I think I'll let you finish because you know of the coverage. But this was, gosh, what year did we have those big rains? In the early 2000s, where we had the big rain, like super, super big rains here mm-hmm. in Orange County. And his backyard sat down a little below sea level, if you will, and there were some hills, you know, behind him, and a pool, which is a big part of the story. And the rains accumulated, and as I recall, the mud accumulated and then flooded. Mud went into his pool. His whole downstairs was flooded. I know that you took very good care of him. He was put up in a very, very nice exclusive hotel, which was a kind of a like for his house. It took months to get the house cleaned. And to this day, he will tell me, I don't care if any investments that you give me lose money. I have made more money by having the right coverage for getting my house repaired than I'll ever make in any investments.
Yep.
And so I think that kind of goes back to your comment about protection. I mean, there's building your assets and there's protecting your assets.
There is. You know, and it's interesting because when we think of property and casualty, personal property and casualty, we think of those situations. We think, you know, fire, theft, earthquake, wind damage, water damage, auto accidents. Auto accidents happen daily. And, you know, we always think, okay, well, I have to just guard against that. Well, the truth is we actually have to guard against, have we properly planned for that? Because insurance tends to, one of the complaints that I have all the time is we all watch TV, we see these commercials on TV, and everything is focused on saving money. And they kind of make a joke of the insurance process, mm-hmm. you know. That's not what it should be about. I always try to advise my clients and even advisors that are talking to their clients, even if I'm not involved in their insurance decisions, do not lead with price. Do not even talk about price until you understand what you want to buy. It's like when you're looking to go buy a car, you're not going to lead with price. You're going to figure out what model car you want mm-hmm. to buy, and then you're going to back into the pricing. It should be the same way, really, with the insurance. Because, you know, a lot of times people find out on the wrong side of a claim when there's nothing that can be done. They're uninsured in an area. They're underinsured. They may have a gap, or the policy is not going to respond the way that they thought it was going to respond. And simple conversations can avoid those problems. And, you know, it's just something that is really a pet peeve of mine. And you know, an insurance product, when you write an insurance policy or an insurance program, that's really a snapshot of that person's life at that moment. It has to evolve because they're evolving. Things are changing. You need to make sure that you're capturing and having ongoing conversations. And that's why I like working with guys like you and their CPAs. When they have a team, I mean, how, you know, wealthy people have a team.
Mm-hmm.
When those team members are working together, it helps everybody avoid gaps, find out, hey, this just popped up, maybe you should know about it. And it just is a holistic approach for these clients, and I think that's to their advantage.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines in insurance, and it kind of applies to life insurance as well, mm-hmm. but I think more to property casualty, is you don't want to pay too much for insurance, but at the same time, you don't want to pay too little.
That's right.
Because for obvious reasons, you pay too little, and then maybe you're not going to get the coverage that you really, really need.
Yep. Well, and that's a good point. And that's, you know, the carriers that we work with, as you mentioned. In fact, there's been some change since that. Chubb, Ace, and Fireman's Fund are all one big company now. But two additional carriers that are outstanding in mm-hmm. the high net worth world are Pure Insurance and mm-hmm. Cincinnati Insurance. So that's why I say start with the level of product you want to have, the actual quality level. Understand what you're buying, and then let those companies duke it out to figure out which one's going to be the right one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all filed with the Department of Insurance, so you're working within filed rates, but that's the reason for healthy competition. You know, yeah. multiple companies that offer similar products, similar claims handling, that's what you want to take a look at.
And I think it's more than the company, and it's a lot to do with the broker. When you did the evaluation of my insurance, mm-hmm. I mean, you dove deep. It wasn't just, you know, high level. Hey, what do you want to? What deductible do you want? You dove deep. Hey, what's important? Yep. You know, what's the level of coverage that you want? And as we found out, where you live makes a big impact on what carriers will cover. Obviously, values of homes and possessions. What is a, with that said, I do want to get, like, what's your standard, what your perfect client, what does that look like?
You know, that's a good, very good question. And, you know, the perfect client is going to be someone who their assets are going to be such that where it makes sense for them to be with a company like an AIG, a Chubb, a Pure, a Cincinnati, who have certain underwriting criteria that they're looking for. But it's going to be someone who truly values the insurance, who is looking to adequately protect themselves in the event of any type of situation. You know, a lot of things that I always talk about is, you know, if they're not planning for, you know, third-party liability claims or excess uninsured motorist claims, those are, I've had clients seriously injured in accidents where they did not have, the other party did not have insurance. The type of clients we're looking for are going to be people that value the insurance, want to look at every possible scenario that can possibly take place, with whether it be their properties, if they have domestic staff, you know, not just workers' compensation, but employment practices liability. There's a lot of things to look at. I always try to hesitate from assigning a certain net worth or a certain
sure.
value to their home because, yeah. you know, the underwriting criteria that those companies have, it's not astronomical. Everybody always says, oh, well, I'm not going to qualify for that. It's not like that. It's really just valuing the insurance, not wanting an off-the-shelf product, and really designing a program that's going to be fitting your needs. And, you know, you mentioned risk tolerance, I think, early on, or I thought of the word risk tolerance, one of the two. That's an important thing. For insurance, is really not a maintenance program, and that's another kind of standpoint I wanted to mention with regards to an ideal client. If they're not looking for the insurance to take care of the small incidents that take place, you know, a small little water leak or just minor issues that take place at their house, and they're looking to guard against the catastrophic, that's the type of client we're looking for. The companies I mentioned, AIG, Chubb, Pure, and Cincinnati, they also are looking to underwrite their programs in a similar way. For example, if you have a client that's really not interested in turning in anything other than a $10,000, you know, type of loss, they will assign a $10,000 deductible, which greatly reduces their premiums. But then there's a feature called large loss deductible waiver. So if they have a big claim, $50,000 or more, let's say fire, theft, it could be a broken pipe, which is the most common loss, they waive the deductible entirely. So there's a lot of benefits to building your product, your program, to be more for the catastrophic. And I can't tell you how many times we'll get a new person we're talking with. They carry a $1,000 deductible. And one of the first questions I say is, would you ever turn in a $2,000 loss? No. How about a $5,000 loss? No. Well, then, you know, first suggestion right out of the gate
is raise
your deductible because, yeah. you know, the odds are you're not going to have claims. But if you do, you know, it's just one of those things that it's just having a smart conversation about it.
Yeah.
So
whether we use the client that I brought up earlier or someone else, can give an, like, tell the listeners what you did for him and or another client that you might choose, because he has a lot going on.
Yeah. That was many years ago. So I do remember. I know exactly who you're talking about. The product, he was with AIG, so I'll give AIG a plug on this one. Yeah. Outstanding insurance company. He had a very nice home, and you know the rains did accumulate.
Yeah.
A lot of policies, you know, you have to look to make sure that backup of sewers and drains is included, and some policies do not include flood. His did have flood built in. He was fortunately in a good flood zone, but he obviously wasn't, you know, immune to it.
Yeah.
But the main thing is when you have someone who's used to living in a certain lifestyle, the insurance policy providing the loss of use as far as moving out of your home into something comparable, that's important because these people don't want to move down to a Motel 6 and have to live there for the next 3 months while their home is being rebuilt.
Yeah.
And loss of use is kind of a hidden area that I always talk about with my clients, whether it be on their homeowner policy or their earthquake insurance. If there's a big devastating situation, you don't know how long you're going to be out of your home. So you want to make sure the loss of use isn't going to run out while you're outside of your house because that's a hidden cost that now you're going to absorb.
Right.
A lot of the policies, in fact, all the companies I mentioned, they do not put a cap on time. So you will live in your same type of living standards for however long it takes for your home to be completely rebuilt or replaced. That's an important feature. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of the mainstream carriers, you may see limits on the loss of use. and that could be a problem.
Okay. Let's fill in, let's kind of full cycle on this particular client, because you covered his, I think his jet, his yacht, bunch of cars, right?
Yep.
And so you integrated all of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then something that I always recommend for my clients, and we'll talk more about this after the break, but umbrella policy, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That can never, in my personal opinion, that can never be overlooked. That's probably the most important policy in your drawer.
Perfect. So let's hold that thought. We're going to go for a quick break, and we'll come back on umbrella insurance. Super sexy.
With more than 25 years of experience, Bart's comprehensive perspective has earned acclaim from clients across the globe. Gain access to lessons learned throughout Bart's career by following at Bart Zandbergen on Instagram. To learn more about Bart Zandbergen as an advisor, mentor, and public speaker, and for more information on Optivest Wealth Management, please visit www.bartzandbergen.com.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3, with triple points on airfare. By 2, with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
All right, I'm feeling the heat rise here again. It's getting hot in the room here. You know, it is amazing the number of policies, particularly for the affluent and for those who have lots of possessions and toys and things, that you have to think through this. It's not just go get a policy. It really is more complicated than that.
Yeah, so I do want to get umbrella, but that just prompted something else. And I've been meaning to ask you this. So
sure.
Here it is. So I went to a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, to Pebble Beach, to the big auto show of the year.
Concours d'Elegance.
That's right. That's right. I went to one of the auctions, and a car sold for $44 million at auction. It was a 1960, I want to say 62 Ferrari, had won several Le Mans. Matter of fact, it was really cool. It was on stage. One of the drivers who had won many of the races, who's mm-hmm. now well into his 70s, walked alongside the car as it was being sold.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world, obviously someone insures that, someone that owns the car, they would have to insure it. It's not like gold that you can put in the bank or in a safe deposit box. Not really, to a certain degree, it's like art, but art is smaller, where you can store it and maybe safe. But I've heard stories of people who've had car collection and then the warehouse catches on fire, something along that. There's a policy, obviously, for a $44 million car, but what does that cost, and how is that handled?
You know, that's a good question, and I wish I knew. That's a substantial vehicle, but those vehicles can be added on a valuable articles policy. I have clients myself that actually collect vehicles, nothing at the $44 million level, but you know, substantial value vehicles that are not driven, or they may be driven very, very, very rarely. The way that we've gone about doing it is we will schedule those vehicles for their full value on the valuable articles policy. So if there is an earthquake, if there's a fire, if there's a vandalism, theft, whatever it may be, it's covered under that.
Yeah.
If they drive it, we provide the liability coverage under the auto policy. So we don't provide any physical damage coverage under the auto. That's all under the valuable articles policy. But it's understood these cars are pretty much not being driven.
Yeah.
I mean, these people have these as a passion. And that's really how that works.
Yeah.
Can I just ask one question? Do clients ever come up short? Not your clients, but somebody thinks he's got that covered, and then finds out bad things happen. He wasn't covered. I mean, does one how deeply do you have to dive into these things to find the exclusions and the exceptions and all the other things that will come back and bite you later if you don't properly understand them?
That's a good question. And the area that that happens the most common is on the homeowner policy. You'll look at your homeowner's insurance and you'll say, oh, I've got $600,000 in personal property coverage. That should take care of my wife's jewelry, you know, my artwork, everything else. That's where you need to look at the policy language a lot closer, because they do limit jewelry under a homeowner policy. Typically, it's about $5,000. So of that $600,000 limit, only $5,000 can be towards jewelry, and that's after your deductible. So if your wife loses her ring, and let's say it's a $15,000 ring, she's going to get $5,000 after you paid your deductible. So there are certain classifications that you do want to look at. That's just a simple conversation with any insurance agent. Whoever your insurance agent is should be able to explain what's limited under the personal property. And they can remedy that very quickly with a valuable articles policy. So that is a good question and something that is definitely part of the review when we go through the process.
Let's go back for a second to the umbrella policy. And we've had an estate planning attorney here and at our practice. One of our first go-tos, including the attorney, is, hey, from an asset protection standpoint, there's nothing more cost-effective than an umbrella policy. The per million cost of that is pennies, if not dollars, for the coverage that you're getting.
Yep.
Can you explain how that works and integrates with someone's overall insurance plan?
Sure. An excess liability policy is just to, let's use AIG since I've been using them as an example. They have a personal excess liability policy. They have the ability at the highest end to write $100 million worth of coverage. I will say that the vast majority of clients tend to range between 5 and 20. That just seems to be the sweet spot that the vast majority of people land. The way that it works, and the most common area that it's going to be employed is after a massive auto accident. God forbid you get into a car accident where you're at fault. Once your automobile bodily injury limits or property damage or a combination of them, once those are exhausted, the umbrella policy then kicks in, or excess liability policy kicks in to pay the rest.
Which is usually, there's a standard high amount. Right?
There is. There isn't really a standard. A basic umbrella would be $1 million. But like I said.
No, I mean, the coverage on an auto bodily injury, is it $3 million?
Under auto insurance, the bodily injury would be set at $250,000 per person, $500,000 per accident, so if more than one person were injured. Once those limits are exceeded, your umbrella or excess liability policy kicks in.
And if you have no excess liability,
then you're on the hook at that point.
Yeah, and especially here in Southern California, to go through 250 or even 500,000 of body injury, that's
goes quick.
That's a day in the hospital. It is,
and it's interesting because I have some people tell me, "Oh, I've got everything locked up in trusts and LLCs, and you know they can't get to my assets." But there's also things like future earnings, you know, and you know the injury is not there. The defense is a major component. If you get sued, you're going to want the defense. You know, the excess liability policy is going to cover that. It's a matter of, it's such an inexpensive policy that I always tell my clients, well, yeah, you have everything locked up. You've got the greatest estate planning attorney on the planet, but why risk it for, you know, $1,500 a year for a $10 million umbrella policy?
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I respect everyone's decision. I do have a couple of clients that, even though I've talked with it over and over and over, they decided against the excess liability. But 98-99% of them fully believe in it just as strong as I do.
Yeah. Well, our clients have it.
Yep.
And then mechanically, for those who don't know, I know that you have to have the maximum limits on your underlying coverages before you can get the umbrella policy?
Yeah, there are qualifying limits to avoid a gap. So, for example, the bodily injury that I mentioned, which if you're looking at your auto policy, you would see usually two numbers. The first one will say $250,000 per person. That means if you and another person get into an auto accident, you're at fault and they were hurt, you have up to $250,000 in coverage to pay for that person's bodily injury. If that person had a friend riding shotgun or a whole full carload of people and you hit that same vehicle, you have a maximum of $500,000 to pay for the combined injuries for those other people. Once that's exhausted, that's when the excess liability policy would kick in to continue paying for all of their injuries. If you had 100, 300, 100,000 per person, 300,000 per accident, and your excess liability required you to be at the 250,000 and 500,000, you would have a gap which would come out of your pocket. So again, it's just a matter of having a conversation with your insurance agent to make sure all those gaps are tied up and taken care of.
So quick takeaway for the listeners, umbrella policy, excess liability, absolute, I think, must from an asset protection standpoint and great value. Some of the more unusual things like wine collections, fine art, how does that work?
That is something that is very commonly coming up, and wine collections are becoming more and more popular.
Near and dear to my heart.
Absolutely, I know that. Wine collections, it depends. You can go a couple of different ways, and most people tend to go the blanket route. So, for example, you may have someone who has, let's say they have a $250,000 wine collection. They can buy a bulk lump sum of coverage in the amount of $250,000. The maximum that they will pay for any single item is $10,000. So as long as they don't have any individual bottles that are worth over $10,000, that's a great way for them to go about doing it because they don't have to catalog every single one. if they're drinking some of the collection and replacing it, they just have this common $250,000 coverage limit, which means if that earthquake takes place, you know, there's all sorts of breakage, fire, whatever it may be,
yeah,
then the full collection is covered. I always tell people, you know, try to keep documentation, whether it be photos, receipts, you know, because at the time of the loss, they have to show proof of having the items.
So it's up to 250.
Up to 250, or you can pick a million. It depends, yeah, on how much coverage you need. But I was just using 250, yeah, as an example, and that would be for a total loss of the collection. But if they have, you know, Mike, I was carrying a case of, you know, I can't name a wine, but you definitely can.
Let's go Screaming Eagle.
Yeah, okay, Screaming Eagle, and I dropped it, and they all shattered.
Yeah.
You can, that's covered under your valuable articles policy.
Really? Just by, really?
For breakage.
So how about you're at a professional storage unit, air goes out, aircon goes out, and it spoils, or it becomes bad because of the heat.
Same coverage? Type of deal, yep.
Yeah. Paul, you're in luck. Your over $10,000 bottles of wine are going to be, you're safe.
I am feeling so much better. if I had a $10,000 bottle of wine, I'd be afraid to even touch it or do anything with it. What, would you drink those bottles, or do you just save them for a collection?
Well, I hope you would drink it at some point.
Otherwise, what's the point?
What's the point?
Exactly.
What else, in our last couple of minutes, do you think would be considered maybe more unusual, like a wine collection?
You know, I've heard the strangest story I ever heard, and this doesn't involve one of my clients, but I had a friend that actually had a client buy some sort of tank. It was like a tank from some sort of old war. I don't know if it was, yeah, World War II, whatever it may have been. And he bought it at some auction, and he wanted to just insure it. And so he actually put it on his valuable articles policy.
Yeah.
And I always thought, boy, that's an interesting story to insure a tank. But, you know, there really isn't any limit. It's just a matter of constructing and putting together, yeah, an insurance program for what's important to you. It's interesting. But, yeah, the wine is becoming more popular. Baseball card collections, other collectibles. I have a client who's got a whole collection of bells, antique bells, that he wants to insure. It's whatever's important to you. Usually, yeah, the insurance companies can figure out a way to cover it.
I have, okay, some old radio mics here. I have a whole collection of old radio mics. And Irish whiskey, but that's okay.
All right, Mike, I know you've listened to the show before, so you know that one of the things I have the honor of asking is your final thought question, and that is, if you can share with us and the audience, what's your ultimate lesson learned over your career as a insurance professional?
As I have evolved in this profession, it really is, if you don't have a relationship with your insurance advisor, try to get one. Either find one that you can have a relationship with, or one that you feel comfortable with, and one that you hear from often. As I mentioned early on, you have a snapshot of your life the day your insurance policies are written. You shouldn't be on autopilot receiving renewal statements. You need to be hearing proactively from your agent, where they reach out with summaries. For example, our agency has a summary that is a living document. Anytime our client makes an actual change to their life, they're not just getting updated policies, but they're getting updated summaries. You need to be, you know, if something comes up and you're not even sure, just make a quick phone call to your agent, send them a quick email. That's one of the things that I value, is I'm available literally 24/7. I've had clients call me at 2 in the morning when their kids have been in car accidents.
Oh, wow.
You need to have, not to put disrespect any insurance company, but you don't want to be calling an 800 number hoping to get somebody. You want to, yeah, you have a familiar voice on the other end of the phone, someone who understands your situation and knows it from memory at 2 in the morning. Doesn't need to pull up your file.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's important to have a relationship, yeah, with your advisor.
Yeah, that's what I like working about you, to work with you, Mike. And Mike, it's been great having you in studio today. For anyone who wants to know more about you or to contact you, what's the best way?
You know, they can contact me on my
24/7 phone.
2 in the morning, if you want to talk about insurance. You know, my direct line at my office, is that a, yeah, good way to do it?
Absolutely, and maybe a website or email?
Email would be good, too. My direct line at the office is area code 949-223-8258, and my email address is Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, dot Myra, which is M-I-R-A, looks like Mira, which is commonly how it is, at tfgroup.com. That's T like Tom, F like Frank, and the word group all spelled out.
All right. Mike, thanks again for being in studio. Thanks to everyone who has tuned in. We look forward to being back in studio next week. Cheers.
tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.